As I was looking ahead and beginning to map out where we're going, I noticed that when we get down to verse 31, we're going to be getting into the study of about what Jesus had to say about divorce. And I was thinking that that would be maybe a good Sunday for us to do something special for husbands and wives because the family is under such great attack. It's just amazing that I had a call from Laurie Lisa yesterday, and one of the things that was on her heart was, could we set aside a special Sunday in June to renew the vows for husbands and wives? And I said to her, that's amazing that you should call me today. I said, I've been looking ahead and I was planning to do it in about 3 weeks. And she said, well, you know, I don't want to tell you what to do, Pastor, but I would love if we could save it till June and do something special. So what we decided was we are going to do a special Sunday night. We're going to ask the singles to come and be the hosts and hostesses for us. We are going to ask the husbands to get their wives a beautiful bouquet to wear. We are going to ask the wives to get their husbands a boutonniere. We are going to have a marriage, a renewal of our vows on a Sunday evening in June. And we're going to have a reception following. How do you like that? Is that all right? Amen. Somebody's asking about the honeymoon. That's on you. That's not on us. We're taking care of it. We never provide honeymoons. However, I would be in favor of it if you can do it. Praise God. All right. Jesus wants you to live. Now hear me. Jesus wants you to live a happy life. Now, I would love to read your thoughts. Some of you are saying, well, if He wants me to live a happy life, why is He letting things happen the way they're happening right now in my life? I want you to know that when Jesus says happy, He is not talking about the same happiness that the world is talking about. See, when the world says happy, the world means happenings. If the happenings are good, then you're happy. But if the happenings are bad, then you're sad. No, not so with Jesus. When Jesus says happy, He's talking about joy. Say joy.
Joy.
Couldn't hear you.
Joy.
That's better. Joy. Amen. You see, joy is something, hear me now. Joy is something that comes from inside of you. Happiness comes from outside. Did you know that you can have joy in the midst of sorrow? Did you know that? You can. You can have joy in the midst of sorrow. So when the Lord gave these Beatitudes that we've been studying, starting at verse 3 of chapter 5, the word blessed is better translated happy. I am going to ask you to read with me verses 3 through 8. We are using the New King James. Read with me verses 3 through 8, but instead of saying blessed, let's say happy, so we get the thought, okay? Let's read. Happy are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Happy are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Happy are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Happy are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Happy are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Happy are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Now those are wonderful Beatitudes. We are starting with verse 9 today in our study. Happy are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons or children of God. Happy are the peacemakers. Look up here for a minute. I need to talk to you. This is a very important subject. Peacemakers are only needed when peace has been broken. Peacemakers are only able to do their work when there are people who have been separated or divided. And I want you to know that probably the most elusive thing in the whole world is peace. I want you to look at our world. Look at the tragedy of nation divided against nation. The awesome things that we have lived through and still are living through. Look at our own nation. Look how divided our nation is. I appreciated Pat's prayer so much this morning. At the end of her prayer, when she prayed for our president, how many of you feel that you are probably praying for President Clinton more than you've ever prayed for any president we've ever had? How many of you feel like that? I think almost all Christians are feeling that. I've never prayed for a president as much as I'm praying for this president. And her prayer was right on. Lord, let him come to a real knowledge of Jesus Christ and a glorious salvation. Could you imagine him getting on the TV and saying, "Well, I have news for America. I have received Jesus Christ as my personal Savior." Whoa! Some of the people that voted for him would have a heart attack on the spot. Glory to God. Peacemakers, our nation is divided. Our city is divided. Sadly divided. Families are divided. Look around you and see husbands and wives that are fighting each other. They've totally lost any love that they ever had for one another, and it's just toleration at best, but divided. Children against parents and parents against children. Jesus is bringing to light in this beatitude something that is most essential. He said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God, sons of God, if you please." I want you to turn just across the page there in the same chapter. Look at verse 22 and listen to what Jesus said about relationships. Because if you're going to have peace, you have to have relationship. Without relationship, there is no peace. He said, "I say to you," in verse 22, "whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whoever says to his brother, Raca," now you may want to write in your margin if you don't have it, that means worthless one. If you call your brother a worthless one, you shall be in danger of the council. "And whoever says to his brother, you fool," and that really means no count, you don't count, "shall be in danger of hell fire. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother, then come and offer your gift." When God says to the altar, what's He talking about? What was the altar? Now, this goes back to the Old Testament, really. What was the altar? That's right, it was the place of sacrifice. It's where you make your sacrifice. I would say this morning that God, who knows people's hearts, I'm sure saw what happened around this altar this morning as a sacrifice. Many made their sacrifice. They yielded themselves to God. God is saying this morning, "Blessed are the peacemakers." I want to talk to you about the danger of peacemaking. Because when God uses you as a peacemaker, There is always a high risk involved. When you go between two people that are warring against each other, or two nations, or two whatever, when you are coming and trying to bring them together, you are trying to show at least one of them, and often both of them, that they are what? Wrong. Have you ever been wrong? Mary Ellen says she's never been wrong. Never been wrong. Have you ever admitted that you were wrong? Have you ever, when you've had a problem with your spouse, if you're married and you've had a problem with your spouse, and you've really had a bad argument. Now, how many of you that are married have ever had a rather serious argument at least one time? I'm going to ask for a confession this morning. How many of you have had a serious argument since you've been married? Hold them up. I want to see. I got a bunch of liars here. Okay, that's better. After you've had that argument, or in the midst of that argument, you realize that you were wrong. And suddenly you knew that you had to get out of this thing alive. You knew that you were wrong, but you really didn't want to say that. And so you tried to find a way to go around it somehow so that you weren't really wrong, yet you're not laying all the blame on them anymore. Do you, anybody know what I'm talking about? Bill suggests I change the subject. You know what's the best thing to do? I have found the best thing in the world to do is to look her straight in the eyes and say, you know what? I was wrong. That shocks her so bad. What did you say? I was wrong. And you were right. Maybe we could shut that one off. I think it's tired. Peacemakers, here's the thing that happens. When you get between two people that they both think they're right, and you have to show them that at least one of them is wrong, and maybe both, what are you risking? You're risking your friendship with them because they are going to say, or they could be prone to say, see, I thought she was my friend. Look at that. What does the Bible say in the book of Proverbs? Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. That means if you are a friend and you always tell your friend that they're right, even when they're wrong, you are not a friend. God is calling Christians to be peacemakers. That means to get involved where there is strife and bring peace. What are we talking about? The subject of peace. I guess what we need to do is define it, first of all. So let's take a moment to do that. Go with me to St. John. St. John chapter 14. St. John 14. St. John 14 and verse 27. Jesus is speaking. He said, peace I leave with you. Now, notice how he words this. Then he goes back and says, my peace. Now, underscore that. Because what he's saying is, this is a different kind of peace than they thought of. He said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Now he defines it. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. As I studied these last three Beatitudes that we're going to try to cover this morning, I have seen that what the Lord is really teaching us in all these Beatitudes is to shift gears, to learn to think in a different way than the rest of the world around us is thinking. Peace I leave with you. I give you my peace, Jesus said. Not like the world gives. Don't let your heart be troubled. Don't let your heart be afraid. Now, those are two things that the world is trying to put on you all the time. Trouble and fear. Have you ever walked out into a bright new day and thought it was one of the greatest days you ever lived, and before you had lived in it 1 hour, it looked like your whole world was falling apart? And you went in the room and shut the door and held your head and said, I can't believe that all this is happening. Okay, turn the page to chapter 16. Just turn the page, one page. John 16 in verse 33. Jesus is speaking again. He said, these things I have spoken to you that... What are the next two words? In me. Will you circle them? See, there's where you're going to find peace. If you are in Christ. Are you in Christ? I ask you, are you? Tell me. Answer me. Come on, answer me. Are you in Christ? How did you get there? Come on, there's only one way. How did you get into Christ? You had to be born into Christ. Born again. When you got in Christ, you were born out of the world into Christ. Jesus said, in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Now, somehow, I want you to underscore the word peace and the word tribulation. And in your margin, write this. Underscore peace and underscore tribulation. And in your margin, write both at the same time. You have the peace that you have in Jesus Christ. That is a given that is yours for how long? Forever. Tribulation comes and goes. Tribulations get worse and get better. Get worse and get better. All through life. The Lord said, in the world you're going to have tribulation. But in me, you're going to have peace. And you're going to have them both at the same time. And it doesn't matter what the world's doing. Just abide in me. You'll be okay. Hallelujah. Glory to God. All right. The peacemakers. I read something wonderful in my studies that I thought I wanted to take a moment to tell you. Before I say the next thing, in the year 1917, it was during the battlefield of France. There was a British chaplain that was with his troops in the Battle of France. The Germans were over there. The French were over here. The English were over here in the battle for France. And the chaplain on the English side realized, he looked at his watch and realized that it was just the beginning of Christmas Day. And his heart became moved. He didn't tell one person in the foxholes what he was going to do. But he climbed up out of the foxhole and he stood up tall. And they thought for sure that the Germans were going to shoot him. And he started to walk. And he walked straight for the Germans. And there was not a shot fired. He got to the German side. And he found someone that could understand. And he said to them in English, today is Christmas Day. And they translated it for the guys in the foxhole. He said, your families are singing Christmas carols. Peace on earth, goodwill to men. He said, I would like to ask for a truce for the Christmas season and let us celebrate it together. That side and that side both agreed. They climbed up out of their foxholes. They took care of their sick. They took care of their wounded. They buried their dead and they celebrated Christmas together. And it went on till the 3rd of January when the word got back to their commanding officers And they came out and said, back to the war! And that man at the end of the war got a Medal of Honor because he took his life in his hands to be a peacemaker. Blessed are the peacemakers. Now listen to me. Look up here. I want to talk to you for a minute. There are times when you are involved in a situation and you don't want to be involved in it. And what does your flesh say at a moment like that? Come on. Get me out of here. That's one thing. What else does it say? Forget about it. That's not my problem. That's their problem. And God is saying to you this morning, hear this. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are the people who are willing to risk their necks to bring peace in the midst of a storm. They will be called the children of God. All right. You're looking at another scripture. Just look at one more before we leave this morning. Go with me to Matthew 10. Now what I'm saying, I am not saying peace at any price. Please hear me this morning. There are times when peace is only found at the price of great compromise, of right and wrong. Now come on, stay with me. I'm not talking about opinions, and I'm not talking about preference. I'm talking about right and wrong. Okay. Matthew chapter 10, verse 34. Jesus is speaking again. And He said, do not think I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Seems like they're easier to find, doesn't it? And a man's foes will be those of his own household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. One more. He who finds his life will lose it. He who loses his life for my sake will find it. Jesus is saying here, don't look for peace when it means compromise with wrong. He's talking, when he says peacemakers, he's talking about something else. I'm not going to turn to it, but you know in Ecclesiastes, it says there's a time for peace and a time for war. There's a time for everything under the sun. I think about, even in churches, this week, the church, for many years, for most of my life, the church has been my whole life. It is my whole life. And so the things that happen in the church, I try with all of my heart to understand and to improve my understanding. Because as we go through life, we do understand things differently. The older we get, we see things differently. There are things that I understand, there are things that I don't understand. But let me tell you this morning the one thing that I understand most clearly. And that is that Satan's greatest desire against the church is to take peace from the church. If the church is in peace, the church will flourish. Now, how do you put these things together? Let me try to tell you a little bit from my heart today, because this is so real to me. I'm living this right now. God has called certain men to be the leaders of the church. There are times when the greatest joy of my life is the fact that I have been called to be a pastor. There are other times that I would much rather do something else. Even at this old age, there are times when I want to say, forget it! Why? I'll tell you why. Because I see Oh, if you can only try to get what I'm saying this morning, it will help you so much to be a better part of Christ's church. I see that in order to do the will of God, we have to follow the guidance that He's giving us. And there are times when that guidance doesn't seem like it's something that everybody can understand. And when it gets to that point, then it gets fuzzy. And people start to criticize this, and people start to question this, and people start to do doop, 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 you know? And all this stuff, and all of a sudden there's these undercurrents and ripplings. And all the while, the leaders are trying to say, God, we want to walk in the center of Your will. And the church is saying, Lord, we want to walk in the center of Your will. And Satan's saying, but I'm going to get this going and this going and this going. Hear what I'm trying to say this morning. There are no perfect leaders of churches. But there are men of God who sincerely want God's will. And what they need is what the president got this morning from this church. They need the prayers of the saints. They need us to hold together in unity. If there are questions, and as I've said in our last family talk, I'm not asking the church to walk blindly and say, well, he's the leader, and if he asks us to walk over the cliff, we'll walk over the cliff. I'm not asking that. But I'm asking you to trust that our hearts are reaching out for God's best and stay united as one and don't let Satan get his nudges in. Be a peacemaker. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Quickly, let's go back. Oh boy. We're gonna take these two. We'll take them together. Blessed are you when men shall revile you. Come on now. Revile you. What does that mean? Blessed are you when men shall revile you. Oh, I skipped one, didn't I? I'm sorry. Verse 10. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Persecuted for righteousness' sake. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Persecuted for righteousness' sake. You know what? I don't think there's anybody in this church that knows what that means. Except we've read about it. Let me tell you what it meant in the first three centuries of the church. Let me tell you the things that happened to people very commonly who believed in Jesus Christ. Okay? Some of them were flung to the lions. Some of them were burned at the stake. Some of them, Nero wrapped them in pitch and then used them as torches in his garden. This is true. Some of them were sewn up in skins of wild animals and thrown to the hunting dogs. Some were tortured on the rack, scraped with pinchers. Others had molten lead poured over them while it hissed over their body as it burned them to death. Many of them had their families turn against them, lost their jobs, were accused of crimes, compelled to worship Caesar, and when they refused, they were sacrificed on an altar to an idol. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. That's way in the back of your Bible, just before the book of James. Hebrews 11, right after the T's. Thessalonians, Timothy, and Titus. Hebrews chapter 11. Beginning at verse 36. Still others had trial of mockings and scourgings, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were tempted. They were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. Look up here. We had the privilege of being born in America, most of us. The others had the privilege of coming here. Where there is religious freedom, and thank God, there still is religious freedom. We don't know what it means to be tortured for Christ. If somebody calls us a holy roller, we think we've been pierced in the heart. Oh, nobody knows the trouble I've seen. My goodness. The Lord is saying, go back now to the fifth chapter of Matthew. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Some of you have had to take your stand for Jesus on the job, and because of that, you didn't get a promotion. God says you're happy, you're blessed, if that happened to you. Persecuted for righteousness' sake. Look at verse 11. Blessed are you when men shall revile you. That means they address you with abusive words. Have you ever had people address you with abusive words because of Jesus Christ? God says you're happy when that happens. When they say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. What's that mean? That means they love you.